Pastor Michael, we are in a season where we're talking about all things related to the spiritual realm. So today's question is, do demons oversee or run nations?
Well, the answer is a little scary, but yes, that seems to be the clear biblical teaching. Okay, so a couple things. There are, in Scripture, hierarchies of demons. The Roman Catholic Church has kind of a historical way of unfolding this, but so do the Orthodox Church, et cetera, and the Evangelical Church has its own way. But biblically speaking, the most clear we can get from Scripture is that we know that there are archangels. So, for example, Michael would be the archangel. It would appear that Satan had archangel status with Michael, because in the book of Jude, they're competing the way Ezekiel 28 describes Satan. It would appear that he had that kind of status. There also are demons that oversee nations explicitly. We're going to go through that in a minute here. And then there just seem to be lower level common demons, but like, we don't know necessarily what they're called. We don't know how many ranks there are technically. So a lot of that is you're reading between the lines, trying to put things together. But here's what we do know. We know there are archangels. We know there are angels that oversee nations. We know that there are hierarchies of angels. And we know that angels and demons, wherever you're at, they fight their battles with the weapon of authority. So higher level demons are always have control over lower level demons. Mm-hmm. So they don't fight with swords, they fight with authority. So that's one thing. Now, some of the most powerful demons were given oversight of actual nations. So I want to kind of walk through, because I think this is a really important concept to understand. And one of the things that is important is that when we read something like in the book of Genesis, we'll read a story, and the story is true, and the story tells us what the author wants us to know. And then as you go on in the Bible, there's this principle called progressive revelation, which means that God progressively reveals more and more of himself and also of history. So you'll read a story, and then later you'll read another, we'll say, part of the Bible that gives us more information on that original story. And then later you can read another part of the Bible that will reveal even more information. So
that's why cross-references are so important for us to understand the counsel of Scripture.
Yes. And understanding even also the timeline of when the thing is like, so yeah, let's walk through this. So Genesis 11:4, this is the Tower of Babel. And here's what humanity says. This is like a recently post-flood world. And so they say, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, and I want you to notice this phrase here, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. So they actually know that they are supposed to fill and subdue the whole earth. Mm-hmm. They are well aware. So already humanity post-flood is rebelling against God's creation mandate to subdue the entire earth.
Yep.
And they're like, we like things here, so let's build this big tower. And they're essentially rejecting Yahweh, and they are worshiping something else. So that's the story, and you read it and you go, got it. And then we get to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 8. And Moses is essentially, he's writing a song. And here's what he says. He says, when the Most High, Yahweh, gave to the nations their inheritance when he divided mankind. When was that?
At the Tower of Babel.
At the Tower of Babel.
Yeah.
Says this, he fixed the borders of the peoples according to the number of the sons of God. It would appear that there is this group of angels called the sons of God, and there's a number of them. And when God created the nations at Babel, he assigned each son of God a nation with a people and a language and a place on the earth. And so it would appear, by the way, that these were good angels. It's possible they were demonic angels, because in Genesis 6, the Nephilim were the a product of the sons of God and the daughter of men. So, but God took Israel and he said, no, this is my country. This is going to be my people. And there's a reason why, by the way, all these demons are trying to get into Israel, because they're trying to like take God's land from him, if you will. So in Genesis 11, you just have this rebellion and they're scattered. But in Deuteronomy 32, we learned a little bit more. No, they're actually given nations and angels, and maybe because of the rebellion, they were already demons. And so demons were overseeing these nations. And so then we go forward and we get to Psalm 82. And in Psalm 82, the context is a divine courtroom, and God is judging the angels or demons that oversaw the nations. And he judges them. as corrupt, oppressive, idolatrous, deceptive, and leading their nations into false worship. Which explains why every nation around the world got plunged into idolatry. And so God sets apart Israel for himself. And it also explains why they're all trying to get into God's nation, God's land, because they knew that this was God's and they hated God. They'd rebelled against him. They hated God's people. So they're trying to come in and corrupt regularly God's people. But here's what we get. Now we get to the book of Daniel. So here's what we've established. God breaks up humanity at Babel. Gives them different languages, gives them boundaries. He puts angels or demons over each country, except for Israel. That's his people. These angels and demons lead people into false worship. God indicts them. He judges them. He calls them for what they are. And then we get to the book of Daniel. And this, I think, is so interesting. It's one of the weirdest passages. I've taught on this multiple times, and I love it. And I want to just read it because you take all of this context, and now you can make sense of what is happening. It says, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Who's talking? An angel. And who is stopping this angel from giving Daniel a message from God? The prince of the kingdom of Persia. Is this talking about an actual physical human prince?
Yeah, it's a spiritual realm.
100%.
Reality, yeah.
It is the demon who is assigned oversight or leadership of this region, Persia. So this angel, who's lower level, gets sent by God to give Daniel a message. A higher level demon, the prince of Persia, stops him and entraps him for 21 days. Here's what it says. He withstood me 21 days, but then Michael, one of the chief princes, or the archangel, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia. It's interesting how this works. Verse 14 says, and I came to make you understand, this is not the angel giving Daniel the message, what is to happen to your people in the latter days? For the vision is for days yet to come. Verse 20 says, then he said, do you know why I've come to you? But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. When I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. And I'll just give you the end of this. Persia, right? There's a prince that oversaw it. And these demons are competing with each other. And the demon who oversaw Greece is trying to overtake the demon who's running Persia. So you have the Persian Empire. Then you have the Greek Empire. Then you have the Roman Empire. These are all demons competing against each other for worldwide domination. And so it started with, here's your people, your languages, and your boundaries. And they're all exceeding their boundaries, fighting with each other. Yep. And then when God sends a good angel, lower level, to give Daniel a message, all these demons are like, we can't let him do that. So they trap him. And then God's got to send the big dog, Michael, to come in and say, done. No, we're gonna free you up. And by the way, Prince of Persia, the Prince of Greece is coming after you. You know, it's like kind of a funny story, if you will.
Yep.
But what you're watching in scripture is this unfolding of Babel, the demons that oversaw these countries, them moving outside of their boundaries, God indicts them. And now they're having, we'll just say, global warfare behind the scenes. And what it also shows you is that when a demon falls to another demon, the nations under them fall. I don't understand. I couldn't even, like, how world empires and demonic oversight go hand in hand, but they do.
Yeah.
And so when one demon is overthrown by another demon, then that empire falls. And then the humans, the people, they follow the empires of the demons.
Yeah.
You should be asking me, so who oversees America? I have no idea.
I wasn't going to ask you that, but we could leave that for a separate episode.
Another episode, another day.
Yeah, but it's like fascinating, this like huge spiritual realm, like cosmic, I don't want to call it a game, but like chess that God is like sovereign over and has authority over, and all these moving parts as you're talking about it and describing, and yet we don't know how all of it works, but God is sovereign.
Yeah.
And what we see in scripture is very clear. And again, like you said, progressive revelation shows us more, gives us more insight into some of the things that happened before in human history and how things are playing out now. It's fascinating.
Yeah. Add to this, what is the point of the gospel? The point of the gospel is now the people of God, they go back into all the nations and they reclaim the people and languages that have been overseen and overtaken by dark demon gods.
Yeah.
And so we go into all the world and we proclaim the gospel, and we don't necessarily overtake nations, but we bring the gospel to people so that one by one, we take back what they have taken from from.
It's such a cool full circle thing and fulfillment of promise, right? From Genesis 12, when God says to Abraham, through you, all the families of the world will be blessed. All the nations all of the world will be blessed. And then we see it right here. So
it's amazing.
It's awesome. Thank you for that.